the presidents and prime ministers of the nations of the West who are increasingly coming against Israel, openly or clandestinely. Don't let yourself be among them. Today is the day to stand with Israel. Blessed, I will bless those that bless you, said God, and I will curse those that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I want you to listen to this brief recording from Wayne Watson, For Such a Time. Be inspired.
Can't change what happened till now, but we can change what will be. By living in holiness, that's the world who sees Jesus. For such a time as this, I was placed upon the earth to hear the voice of God and do His will, whatever.
Yes, you were. Can you hear His voice? What is His will for you? Such a time as this, friend. You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. The paradigm of Purim. Thanks for joining us. Get your copy of The Feast of the Lord, God's Prophetic Calendar from Calvary to the Kingdom. Hardbound book, your gift of $25 or more to Save America Ministries. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Become a partner and send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. God bless you and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay on a cold winter evening, but bringing you tonight one of my favorite guests, Dr. Paul Williams. Now, we're hearing a lot about the danger over there in Japan and the plume of radioactive material that was heading towards the west coast of California. And yet, if you analyze it, there's no danger at all to the United States. Absolutely none. It's all hype. It's all political theater. It's to focus your attention on a non-existent threat. What happened over there in Japan is a tragedy. An awful lot of people have been injured. An awful lot of people have been killed. But the threat to us here in the United States is literally non-existent. However, there are very real threats. Very real threats that can affect your life and the life of your children and endangering your very survival that are never mentioned by the controlled media. Because, you see, the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an essential element in a democratic society. Those who control this essential mechanism of society constitute the invisible government which rules us. We are governed, our minds are molded, our taste forms or ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. And that statement was written in 1928 by a gentleman who wrote a book called propaganda. His name was Bernay, Edward Bernay. He was the nephew of Sigmund Freud, and he is the father of modern-day propaganda, who was able to convince women that they should smoke, and by so doing, he killed literally millions of women because of the complications of smoking and lung cancer and all the other diseases that go with tobacco. But Edward Bernay understood how to manipulate the minds of the American people, and the techniques he developed are being utilized on the American people today, and you've never seen a more beautiful example of it than if you read the descriptions of what's going on over there in the in Japan, and there could be a problem, or there may be a problem, or there might be a problem, or there possibly will be a problem, or it's all hype. It is all designed, of course, to frighten us to death, to do away with the possibility of getting nuclear power in the United States, because they want to lower our living standards. They don't want us to use electricity. They want to deindustrialize America. And ladies and gentlemen, you are being manipulated. On the other hand, there's a very real problem, and we're going to be talking about it with Dr. Paul Williams, who's written extensively about terrorism in the past. He's worked closely with the FBI, but not on the issue we're going to be talking about tonight, because we're going to be talking about a gentleman named Mr. Gulen, one of the most wealthy men in the world, who puts actually Bill Gates and Warren Buffett to shame as far as their wealth. They can't begin to compare with Mr. Gulen. And of course, the problem with Islamberg. But you don't want to hear me talking about it. Let's hear Paul. Hi, Paul. How are you tonight?
Hey, Dr. Stan. I'm doing great. Thank you.
You pick up the story there. What should we talk about? Should we talk about Mr. Gulen and how he has simply taken Turkey out of the pro-Western camp and moved it into the Islamic camp? Or should we talk about Islamberg? Where do you want to start?
Let's start with Gulen. I'll tell you why. Because in the Turkish newspapers today, they're... They have publicized the new WikiLeaks documents, and they concern Gulen. And the WikiLeaks documents quote the U.S. ambassador to Turkey, stating how dangerous the schools are, and the schools are throughout this country, and how he controls the events in Turkey, how he controls their police force. There are 200,000 members of their police force, and they're all controlled by Gulen, who doesn't live in Turkey, doesn't live in any Islamic country, doesn't live in Europe. He lives right here in Pennsylvania. And
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. You go right ahead, Paul.
It's interesting that that Gulen, who left Turkey in 1999 for trying to overthrow the secular government in Turkey, has gained a foothold here, and how he puppeteers world events, once again, from a mountain fortress in Pennsylvania.
How wealthy is Gulen, would you say? Do you have any idea?
I have a very good idea. I went to the when he applied for permanent residency status in the United States, the Homeland Security and FBI tried to block his application. And they produced documentation that scratched the surface of his assets, and they could come up with $25 billion. And once again, that's more than many countries have. But if you dig deeper, you discover that Gulen, in fact, has well over $50 billion in assets.
But that's more than either Warren Buffett or Bill Gates. You know, they're supposedly the richest men in America. Why did we ever mention Gulen as being perhaps the richest man, or certainly rivaling the richest men in America? Don't they know that he's here? Doesn't the media know about Mr. Gulen?
Well, the media, I don't think, is very much aware of Mr. Gulen, but the CIA and the government is incredibly aware of him. Gulen has used his resources. He has lobbying groups out the country. He has contributed heavily. His Turkish lobbyists have contributed heavily to political campaigns throughout the country, including campaigns for both Republicans and Democrats, for Bush and for Obama, for Hillary Clinton. But he growing at the rate of probably 20 to 30 new schools every year. It's funny you mentioned Gates, because Gates has contributed millions of dollars to the Gulen schools.
Isn't that interesting?
Very interesting. And Gulen, this is what else came up. This is what really perked my attention. When he applied for permanent residency status in the U.S., he fled Turkey for trying to overthrow the secular government.
I'm going to ask you just to hold that thought. I want to bring all of our stations back on board and be right now. Well, Dr. Stan and Sydney at Paul and Sydney have been studying Mr. Gulen for some time. Mr. Gulen, he estimates, has about $50 billion. Now, that certainly rivals Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, and I'm sure exceeds their wealth. What's so very interesting is that Mr. Gulen has set up over 150 radical Islamic schools here in the United States, and that Bill Gates actually contributes to that, or at least his foundation does. Why would Bill Gates' foundation be contributing to these radical Islamic schools? Mr. Gulen was expelled from Turkey back in 1999 because he was trying to overthrow the secular religious government and convert Turkey into a radical Islamic state. He, of course, was being helped by the Central Intelligence Agency. He eventually came to the United States, has operated from here. He succeeded in overthrowing the secular government of Turkey, establishing a radical Islamic state, which is why Turkey now has joined with Iran and the radical Islamic groups, and is one of the major driving forces to taking all of the Middle East into this radical Islamic camp. And if this is true, why haven't you heard of it? Why, very simply, ladies and gentlemen, in the United States we have freedom of the press, which means if you are one of the six major corporations that controls 95% of the media, and that is specifically AOL, Time Warner, Bertelsmann, Viacom, which controls CBS, Disney, which controls ABC, GE, and now Comcast, which controls the NBC, and of course Mr. Murdoch, who controls Fox and the Wall Street Journal. But you have the freedom to control what the American people read, hear, and see. Paul, go right ahead.
It's interesting you say that, because Gulen controls all the media in Central Asia. He owns all the newspapers and all the television outlets and all the cable companies throughout Turkey and throughout Central Asia. The Gulen schools here, this is what's interesting. That the new WikiLeaks documents say that at these schools, children are brainwashed. That's what the document, that's what the ambassador to Turkey says in the WikiLeaks document. And he said that in a document that, a cable that he had written in 2009. But the schools in the U.S. have very innocuous sounding names, like the Magnolia Science Academy, the Lotus School, the Sonoran Science Academy, the Raindrop Turkish School, the Lighthouse Academy, Pacifica Institute. They're all innocuous sounding names, and people send their kids there, and they think that, oh man, this is, you know, that the hype is really great on these schools, the Horizon Schools and the Noble Academy and the Dove Academy. And when they go to these schools, they're immersed in Turkish culture and in Turkish language. And many of them are granted even annual trips to Turkey. Their instructors, by and large, are Turks. Even their instructors in English have HIB visas. The Gulen schools import more teachers than any other, more, as a matter of fact, more foreign workers than any other corporation in the country. And at the schools, according to people associated with the movement, these kids are prepared and indoctrinated into the idea that the golden age of civilization was the days of the Ottomans, and that the Armenian Holocaust never took place, that the best thing for civilization would be the restoration of the Ottoman Empire and the creation new Islamic world order. Now, Gulen has, I'm not making this up, Gulen himself has spoke about his intent in his sermons. He has said that that's what he wants to do, create a new Islamic world order. And to create that order, he has established schools throughout Central Asia, throughout Europe, and throughout the United States. What's interesting is his application and his schools and his money are all funded by the CIA. That came out, too, in the court documents.
And, of course, you have the court transcripts. Now, basically, apparently, the Gulen wanted to have permanent residence here after he had been evicted from Turkey by the Turkish government, who was concerned that he was going to destroy the structure of society, which, of course, after he came to the United States, he did. But the FBI, apparently, and some people in the State Department opposed him, but he was supported by the CIA, and then, of course, the documents from those court hearings were available. You got hold of them, and what did you find came out in the documents, the court documents, when Mr. Gulen was applying to come to the United States?
Now, what's interesting is that Gulen, like the people who spoke in favor of his application, were people like, most of them, over 20, were from the CIA, like Graham Fuller. I mean, openly from the CIA. Some others were equally interesting. A guy by the name of Abramovitz, who was the former ambassador to Turkey, Mark Grossman, an undersecretary of state under Clinton, and also an ambassador to Turkey, also spoke, and they said that Gulen is a wonderful educator. He can, he's a man, a scholar of impeccable reputation, who can contribute so much to the knowledge of the United States and to international peace and international harmony. Well, Gulen doesn't have a high school diploma. As a matter of fact, Gulen doesn't speak a word of English. Gulen is semi-literate. All the hype about him is just hype. Gulen is a person, as you said, who tried to overthrow the Turkish government, and he is being used right now by the CIA to create a puppet government in Turkey, which he has done through the Justice and Development Party, which is a Gulen-inspired party. Erdogan, the prime minister, is a Gulenist. Abdullah Gul, the president of Turkey, is a Gulen disciple, openly Gulen disciple. And the government even confirms all this. And Turkey, right now, is his movement is uniting all of Central Asia into a new Islamic world order, an order that's being supported by Saudi Arabia, that's being supported by the Shia in Iran, that's being supported by Islamists throughout the world, and it's also being supported by the CIA.
Now,
and that came out in the court documents as well.
Why would the? I assume he is Sunni? Is he a Sunni?
He's Sunni.
All right. Well, now, what about a conflict between the Sunnis and the Shias, as manifested by Gulen? Is he? Where does he stand as far as Iran is concerned?
That's what's interesting. Under Gulen, the Justice and Development Party, which is the governing party in Turkey right now, has established very close alliance with Ahmadinejad and the mullahs in Iran and also the mullahs in Syria. He has created an alliance with the Shia and also an alliance with his fellow Sunnis. He would tell you, Gulen would say, "Oh, I'm really a Sufi." But Sufis, like Gulen and by his writings, are uphold, by and large, Sunni doctrine, and he does. But he would say, "Oh, I'm a Sufi mystic," but not really.
All right. Well, I think it's so vitally important American people understand that most of what you read in the newspaper, most of what you read in magazines or here on radio and television is simply a massive distraction to keep you from understanding what's really going on. The American CIA is intent upon overthrowing the existing social structure in the Near East and the Middle East and creating a radical Islamic world. Would you agree or disagree with that concept?
Well, this is what came out in the court documents, and especially from Sybil Edmonds, an FBI translator, former FBI translator. She testified that the money that Gulen has is coming from the poppy fields in Afghanistan. That the CIA is funneling the proceeds from the drug harvesting into Gulen's coffers, and they're doing that because in Central Asia right now, in the stand countries, in Kurdistan, Turkmenistan, all these stand countries, these newly created Russian republics. Scientists have discovered an enormous supply of oil and natural gas. And in order for us, or the powers that be, not us, them, the power elite, to gain control of these very, very valuable resources, they have to gain control of Turkey, because all the stand countries are Turkish countries. They speak Turkish. They share a Turkish culture. They share a Turkish language. And they also share the Turkish religion, Islam. So the CIA is propping up Gulen to act as a puppet, and for Turkey to act as a proxy nation for them. And that is what Sybil Edmonds said, and that's what other officials said in the court document. His money is coming from the drug trafficking. That is the big news.
Now, basically, will this be the subject of your new book that I know you're writing at the present time?
Well, my new book, I doubt we'll find a publisher right now. I mean, I sent some chapters off after obtaining a potential publisher, and they said, oh, man, we don't want to go near this stuff.
Well, when you get enough of it done, I do know somebody will publish anything that really is, and he's doing a pretty good job of getting them out, not as well as if you were a random house. But then, of course, the major publishing houses are all CIA-controlled. That's why you're not going to get the information out there. They've been progressively buying up the publishing houses, centralized them. You look at Simon & Schuster, and probably there are 30 or 40 publishing houses associated with it. The same thing with Macmillan. When we used to have a free and independent press, well, that was a long time ago in another world when we could get information. Go right ahead, Paul.
You mentioned the major publishing houses, Dr. Stan. For most of my career, I've been represented by these firms. I've been, you know, I wrote for Doubleday. You mentioned Macmillan, Penguin. I mean, all.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company.
give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
World Terrorist Movement, and discovered it was being funded by the Central Intelligence Agency. And because it wasn't just Paul or Sybil Edmonds who had worked for the FBI, and so they have found that out and tried to get the information out. But this is the information you out there listening on and saying ever to know. And basically, we have created the best enemy money could buy. But you pick up the story from there, Paul.
This is what's so interesting about the Gulen schools. Gulen has so much money to collapse governments. He brought about the collapse of the government in Turkey. He's bringing about the collapse of much of Central Asia. He has established schools here, and we're paying for these schools. They're all funded by taxpayers, and the fact that this is going on, these children are being brainwashed and indoctrinated to create this new Islamic world order, and we can't get word of what's really taking place. We can't even the fact the WikiLeaks usually capture the headlines everywhere, New York Times everywhere. Have you read the headlines in several of the European countries right now regarding what the WikiLeaks say about Gulen? No, because they're not there. They're only in Turkish, so you have to rely like I do on Turkish translators. And they get the information back to me, and thankfully, I have a lot of good, I've established over the years and years and years as an investigative reporter, and working with international news agencies, I know people there, so I can get the news. But that the American people can't. And even when you get the news, the latest WikiLeak, it's not going to be in Drudge, it's not going to be in Fox News, it's not going to be in O'Reilly. Certainly not going to be on CBS or ABC. So the only way you're going to hear it, this is what's so, is here.
Well, I'm just so glad we have you. Have you been able at all to get on Alex Jones or Joyce Riley or some of the other programs?
I haven't really tried, Dr. Right. Stan. But what I do is I get the word out and I plant the seed. If people want to invite me to speak some places, I'll go anywhere for free. And I will speak, and if they want me to be on a show, I'll be on a show, as long as I'm free to speak. I've been invited to go back on several of the programs I've been on in the past, like at Fox, but I don't want to be on there. I don't want to be on the MSNBC any longer. I don't want to be on ABC again, because, everything what I say will consist of 3 minutes with basically what I have been saying. Prepared to say, but they're not going to have. They'll get me on to talk about Islamberg, not about Gulen. Gulen is too close to the heart. Gulen has the politicians in his pocket. Gulen has the funds to really, really, really make a difference.
Well, I suppose when you got $50 billion, why, of course, people do listen to what you have to say.
But what he's trying to do, you see, what he's doing is trying to restore the Ottomans, unite all the Muslim countries. The Saudis are supporting him. Iran is supporting him. The Libyans are supporting him. The Syrians are supporting him. Everyone is supporting him. The Egyptians are supporting him. Everyone has their support now behind Gulen, and people in the United States don't even know his name. And what he wants to do is create this new Islamic world order, and he wants to have the Americans support it and to be indoctrinated into how wonderful it's going to be. And that's why he has schools throughout the country called the Dove School, the Harmony School. Don't believe it. And the Americans are paying for these schools.
That's what's so amazing, paid for with American tax dollars. And Chris, you're not supposed to be able to push a religion in school. How does he get around that? You know, this so-called wall of separation between church and state in government-financed schools.
It's very nefarious. I know exactly. And I spoke to the people in the Gulen schools. I've visited the Gulen schools. What he does is this. First of all, he indoctrinates them in Turkish culture. All these schools. If you're listening and you have a kid in the Daisy School, the Dove School, or the Harmony School, Sonoran Academies, any of these nice sounding schools with Turkish teachers, take heed. Your kids, according to the government, according to the ambassador to Turkey, are being brainwashed. They're being brainwashed to take part in the creation of a new Islamic world order. That's the latest WikiLeaks, and we are paying for it. And it's done. They tell the students, we want to teach you Turkish history, which of course involves Islam. We want to teach you about the Ottoman Empire, which of course involves Islam. We want to tell you about all the myths regarding Turkey, including the Armenian Holocaust that never took place, and how terrible the Ataturk government was. They indoctrinate them, and at the same time,
hold that thought. Hold that thought, please. Well, please go right ahead, Paul.
Well, as I said, this one guy, and I visited his compound. He has 45 acres in Salersburg, Pennsylvania, in the heart of the Pocono Mountains. The people there have complained about automatic gunfire coming from there. If you go up there, you'll see a helicopter combing the place, looking for anybody who might want to intrude in his property. He has a militia there, a foreign militia on U.S. soil. I wrote about it, and like I said, I spoke to all the local residents. It doesn't matter. Anything that I'm saying regarding this guy goes nowhere, and I can't understand it. I can't understand it. What he is, according to leading experts, even including people like Brigitte Gabriel, the most dangerous Islamist on planet Earth. The most dangerous.
Well, now, what about the FBI? Now, you worked very closely with the FBI in the past. What is their attitude towards Mr. Gulen? Have they been told just to leave him alone? Or what? I mean, after all, when you have people with automatic weapons running around firing them, and suddenly you would think that somebody might be concerned. Where are the gun rights, people, who hate the NRA when you need them?
Yeah, that's the truth. Well, what's interesting is, usually, like regarding Islamberg and these other compounds, I found an unwillingness of the FBI to investigate and they're being harnessed. But regarding Gulen, I think that they didn't get all their ducks in the water and in order. Because what happened was, at the court hearings in Eastern District Court in Philadelphia, regarding his permanent residency application, you had people from the FBI and Homeland Security speaking against this guy, saying, no, do not allow this guy to stay here. This guy's very dangerous. This guy wants to topple Western civilization. This guy wants to do away with...
Hold that thought, Paul. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Dr. Paul Williams just saying at the hearings, of course these were the residency hearings of Mr. Gulen, why people from the FBI and the Office of Homeland Security got up and said, don't let this man come to the United States. This man wants to destroy Western civilization.
Right.
But, of course, there were people from the CIA saying, what a wonderful fellow he was, and how you're one of the world's leading educators. Here's a man with a third-grade education who
right.
can't speak English, and one of the world's greatest educators. Well, the only reason he got educated is because he got so much money from the CIA. He's able to set up schools all throughout the world, teaching and fomenting radical Islam. Paul, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners about your website, how they can get your information, and verify what you're saying, because it's so unbelievable that if I didn't know you personally, I didn't know your reputation, I hadn't read your books. I mean, I'd say that this couldn't be true, but, Kirsten, we've actually seen the pictures, and we're putting together a DVD of the talk that Paul gave at our conference last October. And you'll want to get it as soon as it's available. You can get the talk. It's available with one of the CDs from the conference. But, Paul, how can people get your information?
I'm not keeping up my website. I'm going to start writing for Canada Free Press beginning next week. I think your wife, I think Barbara will be happy to hear that. And I'm giving some support to our friends in Canada. But I'm going to be writing with them. But in any case, anyone listening to me, all you need to do is go to your computer, type in Gulen, G-U-L-E-N, and you will get the information from around the world about this guy. I wrote copiously about him. Many other people have written about him. But read his own sermons. Read his sermons. Just type in Gulen sermons, and you'll see what the guy is all about. Look at the type in. You can get the court records online. Look at the court documents, the transcripts for his application for permanent residency. You can get them. Don't believe me. Just read that, and you'll see what the FBI is saying, what Homeland Security was saying, and to combat them and to say, oh, this guy has to stay here. This guy is such a wonderful addition to our culture. The guy who was really promoting that more than anyone is Graham Fuller, who was a leading CIA operative and is now a leading figure in the RAND Corporation, along with Henry Kissinger, along with Dick Cheney, and along with many others. The RAND Corporation, which is a front company for the CIA. But also, you'll find out if you look at the transcripts, that over 20 CIA agents appeared to support his application. Why? This guy's uneducated. This guy can't speak English. Come on, what's he going to add to our culture? This guy wants to bring it in his sermons. If they read his sermons, that'd see exactly what it was about. This guy was kicked out of Turkey, for heaven's sake, for being for sedition. This guy's schools are outlawed in the Netherlands, even in Russia. They realize how dangerous he is, and they outlaw his schools. Why? And why are we saying, oh, this guy is so great? And we have to. And then in the court documents, your listeners will also be able to see that it came out that this guy has billions and billions and billions of dollars in assets. From where? And then you get the testimony there from Sybil, who says, well, I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from the CIA, Black Ops, and Afghanistan. It comes from the poppy fields. So, I mean, it's all in the court records. It's not something, I mean, it's, look at, anybody to a primary source, the court records.
Let me just, for our listeners out there, when Paul speaks of Sybil, he's speaking of Sybil Edmonds, who was actually a FBI translator. She worked for the FBI. She translated. If you'd like to know the Sybil Edmonds story, go to my website, RadioLiberty.com. Read the January 2008 newsletter, one of the most amazing newsletters I've ever written. January 2008. It's really cool. It's the Sybil Edmonds story. You'll want to read that. It will give you a background of this woman. Now, we don't write there about Gulen. We write about her effort to tell the American people how Pakistani got their nuclear weapons. Have you ever wondered how a backward country like Pakistan, that really has a hard time even, you know, feeding its own people, was able to develop sophisticated nuclear weapons had the technology, had the equipment, had the knowledge to build it? Well, of course, you'll be amazed who provided the nuclear weapon technology for Pakistan that was then given to Iran and North Korea. But right now, Paul, you go right ahead.
What's wonderful about Sybil is, you know, she's very, very courageous. And nobody has been able to dispute what she says. I mean, she was a translator, especially when regarding Gulen. I mean, she had all the original documents. And when she is providing testimony regarding him, of course, Sybil's from Turkey as well. I mean, the people at the hearing should have taken due heed and been very concerned about this guy's application. But once again, you had people like Abramovich, Myron Abramovich. You had Mark Grossman, who is one of the leading scoundrels of our time, the former ambassador of Turkey and undersecretary of state, speaking in favor of Gulen, and all these people are involved, are very instrumental in the creation of the new Islamic world order. We're doing that. We're doing that. Not Gulen. Gulen is one of our tools to do this. But we are doing that. And when in the final judgment, when they say, what country gave rise to such evil? I hate to say it, but it's going to be ours.
Well, it really is not our country, but what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, which controls our country, and we have to separate our government and the idealism upon which it was founded with the dark spiritual force that has gained control and is directing the course of America today, tragically. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, you're right, tragically, but if anyone doubts the Brotherhood, if anyone has any doubts about the Brotherhood of Darkness, please, read those transcripts, Gulen transcripts, or his permanent residency status. That he was approved. He right now remains in that mountain fortress. Of course, he's a recluse. Nobody ever sees him. But he continues to puppeteer things. Erdogan, the Prime Minister of Turkey, is one of his disciples, as I said before. President Gull is one of his disciples. He has control of the 2,000 members of the Turkish police force who are going about right now throughout Turkey, arresting the former military commanders, throwing them all in the slammer. Anyone who opposes the justice and development program in the AKP party, the ruling party in Turkey right now, is rounded up and tossed in a cell. We talk about how we have to oppose what's taking place in Libya and Omar Gaddafi and the terrible things he's doing, and yet how we have to oppose tyranny and we have to get rid of Mubarak. How come we're not getting rid of the people in Turkey right now who have really instituted a new reign of terror there? We turn a blind eye to that because, of course, they suit our purposes.
Right. That was what people really don't understand. They don't understand. They are not getting the truth. Well, you go right ahead, and I know how deeply you feel about these things, but at least we have tens of thousands of people who do hear our programs, and hopefully they will get copies of these programs and of your writings and help get the information out. The one weapon we have is truth, and they, of course, are living a lie. Go right ahead.
Well, as I said before, I mean, this is just like don't understand what's really going on. There's an agenda there, and it's all to serve a very nefarious purpose.
Well, let's get into Islamberg, and I know we're running out of time, and I want to acquaint our listeners with Islamberg and a parallel movement, a subversive movement that is operating with the full help and support of our intelligence agencies right here in America, where they are training terrorists for when the word is given and all hell breaks loose in America. Go right ahead. Why don't you tell the story of Islamberg and, of course, of the felons who are being trained in the use of automatic weapons for when the word is given. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I first learned about Islamberg by Doug Hagman from the Northeast Intelligence Network. He said, hey, Paul, there's a place up by you called Islamberg, and I'm getting a lot of information about it. You should take a look at it. And I went up there. This is quite a while ago. This is years ago, and I couldn't believe what I saw. It's in Hancock, New York, between Hancock and Deposit, New York, way out in the woods. When I say in the woods, I mean really in the woods. This is in Rip Van Winkle country. This is in the Catskills. This is in Sleepy Hollow country, and I mean it's right next to a reservoir, but it's deep, deep, deep woods, and they have 70 acres up there. And on that 70 acres, when I try to go in, I drove down this dirt road into Islamberg, and there's a sentry post with the guy with a AK-47. And I figured, man, this does not seem like a benign community here. I mean, the automatic weapons are outlawed here. But sure enough, the place was filled with African Americans who just got out of prison, most of them from Greenhaven Prison. And state prison, they were there for violent crimes. When they were released, they were given a suit, $10, and a bus trip to Islamberg, to Hancock. And there were hundreds of them living there at that time. And what I found out is there were bodies buried there. There were underground bunkers. I photographed them. You have the photographs. There were firing ranges there, obstacle courses, landing strips. There, guerrilla training and guerrilla warfare was taking place there. Then I discovered this is part of Jamaat al-Fukra, a movement that has spread throughout the United States, and Islamberg was only one of 60-some compounds that had been established by a guy by the name of Sheikh Jilani throughout the USA. And they were all established originally during the Afghan War, during the 1980s, to train recruits, primarily African-Americans, to go over to Afghanistan, take part in the Great Jihad. Now they're still being trained at Islamberg and these other compounds, and they're still going overseas now to Pakistan. And from Pakistan, they're being deployed to Afghanistan, where they're mowing down our own troops. And they're being trained here. And nobody is doing anything about it.
And, Chris, we've asked many times, I mean, why do we have to have almost a quarter of a million people over there in Afghanistan fighting, 50 to 100 members of Al-Qaeda? Well, some of the people they're fighting were actually the recruits from Islamberg and the parallel organizations who are being sent to Pakistan to go into to Afghanistan to kill Americans. Would that be a fair appraisal, do you think?
That's exactly right. Now, and another thing about Jamaat al-Fukra, Graham Fuller, who I mentioned with Gulen, said, Jamaat al-Fukra is such a peaceful organization. Well, the members of Jamaat al-Fukra have been responsible for more terror attacks on U.S. soil than any other group, than Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah combined, more than 70 and counting.
Now, basically, go right ahead.
Members of Jamaat al-Fukra have taken part in the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center. The Beltway snipers were affiliated with Jamaat al-Fukra.
That was Mohammed. Go ahead.
Right. Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, was affiliated with Jamaat al-Fukra. Clement Rodney Hampton Hill, one of the leading terrorists in the U.S., is affiliated with Jamaat al-Fukra. And like I said, they've murdered law enforcement officials. They've been responsible for firebombing. In their compounds, the ones that were raided by the local authorities, like one at Balladula in California, in Squaw Valley, California, the FBI confiscated all types of weapons.
either insane or truly diabolical, because it's totally illogical. But, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that out there in the listening audience you haven't heard about this is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Go right ahead, Paul.
Well, another thing is Major Hussein from the Fort Hood shootings was affiliated also with Al-Fukra. So, once again, these training camps, they're not just at Islamabad. I've visited many. They're in Red House, Virginia. They're in York, South Carolina. They're in Commerce, Georgia. They're throughout the country, Oklahoma, Texas, in California, like I said, up in Squaw Valley, up by you, Washington, the state of Washington.
Yep.
And at all these places, you will find the same thing. You will find underground bunkers where the training takes place. You will find landing strips. You will find that foreign dignitaries, primarily from Saudi Arabia, visit there regularly. You will find firing ranges, fully automatic weapons. You will find that all the local people who live by there are terrified and have complained, and nothing is done.
Now, is it primarily funded by our good friends over there in Saudi Arabia?
The Saudis have so far contributed over $100 billion. I mentioned this to you before, but it's true. For the conversion of the U.S., and by the conversion, they mean primarily the conversion of African Americans, because they know that African Americans have been oppressed here and they have a history of unrest. And what they do is they go into new cities. They have done this, and they've gone into prison, and they've tried to convert many of our black and African-American residents to Islam. 90% of the new converts to Islam in the United States are African-American. 60% come from the prison system. They've been very successful at doing that. And a lot of the people from the prison system, when they get out, they want to take part in the jihad.
And
we allow them to do that.
And they're being trained for the jihad. Not over in the jihad is not going to take place in Pakistan or Afghanistan. It's going to take place right here. Now, how could this possibly be? And of course, we're allowing these radical immigrants to go into our prisons. And of course, if the people convert to the Muslim faith, why, of course, they get special treatment. I mean, they get the special meals, they get the special holidays. Isn't that nice? If you convert to the Mohammedan faith, you get all sorts of special privilege in American prisons. Paul, go right ahead.
You're absolutely right. I mean, if you're tossed into prison, not only that, but the Muslims in prison will give you protection. I mean, I've been in the prison system for...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Do you know what happens to a community that fluoridates its drinking water? Well, the incidence of Down syndrome and endocrine dysfunction, heart disease, thyroid disease, hip fracture, mental problems, infertility, cancer, and crime increases. And if you doubt that, why, go to fluoridealert.org, fluoridealert.org, or the website of the scientists who work for the EPA. That's NTEU280.org. That's NTEU280.org. So what can you do to protect yourself? Well, we carry a Berkey water unit. It does a great job. If you have the fluoride filter, specifically taking fluoride out of the drinking water, but you're still going to get a lot of fluoride absorbed through your skin if you shower or bathe. So we have now a total home filtration unit. It's affordable. It does a great job. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. He has videos. He has pictures. He can tell them about the real terrorist threat to America. And the congressman who's holding hearings back in Washington, D.C. at the present time has never bothered to call Sidney Paul back again. The last thing they want to do is bring out the truth. The last thing they want is for the American people to learn the truth. But fortunately, we have the Internet. And you have an obligation. Go up on the Internet, look at Gulen, G-U-L-E-N. Look for Islamberg. Put into your search engine Paul Williams. And then, of course, you can get the other talk that Paul gave here. It's available on CD. Hopefully, before long, we'll have it available on the DVD. And we have all the pictures that he brought with him as well. You need to find out. And then you have an obligation to help us get this information out, because behind this are powerful spiritual forces. And if you don't do it, who will? And if not now, when? After this country's been destroyed? And then we want you to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle. We've actually posted two new websites. One is, how do you know you're saved? And the second one is, the story of Jesus. The story of Jesus. We hope you'll go to both of those websites and point other people there, because if this country doesn't turn back to our Lord, why, we're going to lose America, and we deserve to lose America, because there's no instance in all history where a nation has turned against God, where God has not, after long suffering, turned against that nation. And I think we're beginning to see the age of sorrows descend on America. But it doesn't have to happen if there's enough people who care. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. You can get Sidney several interviews I've done with Paul Williams. You can request them. We'll be glad to provide them. And we've talked to him, Sidney, actually three times this week. Interview with him both interviews this week will be posted on our website, the archives, radioliberty.com. You can pull them down, you can duplicate them, or you can get the copies of CDs from Radio Liberty. And then, of course, we don't have the 3 o'clock program, but we have the 4 o'clock program, but you can pull the 3 o'clock program down on your own. Then, of course, we do hope that you get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and read it and understand the true nature of what we're up against. You need to get my talk on the forbidden secret, on the dark secret. The first one's a DVD, the second one's a CD. But there's syllabuses that go with both of them to demonstrate and to verify the things we talk about. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. See the list of our DVDs and videos and CD sets and tape sets and all the things that we have available, the books we have available, even some books by Paul Williams, who I said he has written extensively on terrorism in America in the past. So let me suggest one fascinating DVD. It's called Jihad in America. It came out in 1949 and was so effective, orders were given. It was never to be shown in America again, and it was never released until after the World Trade Center bombing on September 11, 2001. We do have it in video form. It's vitally important. In fact, a lot of FBI agents are there telling about the terrorist program that existed in America prior to 1994. And they're still here, waiting for when the word is given. This is not imaginary, ladies and gentlemen. Great nations fall when good people do nothing, especially when they're treason in key places. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, right now, because we're hoping to have William Grieg with us very, very shortly. But William is certainly one of the most brilliant minds in the conservative movement, and we like to get the real leaders of the movement. Sometimes they don't belong to any organizations. Now, at one time, William was the senior editor of the New American Magazine. He certainly is a prolific writer, and he has done his own radio programs in the past, but fortunately he's available now only, usually primarily on Radio Liberty. We try to have him on every Friday evening at this time to bring you up to date on his thoughts about what are happening, because, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in some of the most exciting and dangerous times of your life. Basically, you're seeing the transformation of the Middle East into a radical Islamic camp in preparation for a war with the Islamic world, a war with the reconstituted Ottoman Empire, with the new Islamic world order, as Mr. Kulin, financed by the CIA, chooses to use the term, the new Islamic world order. And, of course, I believe this may well be the war that's described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's going to be fascinating as we see this story unfold. We also, of course, are seeing the destruction of the economy of our nation, and we're seeing simply the destruction of the economy of the Western world. And, of course, out of this will come much lower living standards for the American people, the loss of certainly the so-called entitlement programs. Oh, you'll get your Social Security check. It's just not going to buy much of anything because of inflation. And you can get Social Security or Medicare benefits, but, of course, at a certain age, they'll just let you die if you get ill. So you're going to have to begin thinking about how you're going to be able to afford your own health care. It's about time, though, that Americans did get back to what was traditionally our way of life, and that was Americans were responsible for themselves and for their family, and we were to help one another rather than looking to government to take care of us, because any government that can provide for people from the cradle of the grave must be able to control people from the cradle of the grave. Well, we've got William Grigg with us. Hi, William. How are you tonight?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing well. Once again, it's a pleasure and a blessing to be with you.
Well, we always look forward to Friday this time of the evening. So basically, what are we going to be talking about? There are so many things to talk about. It would be what's going on in Japan, what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on economically.
Yeah.
We could talk, certainly, there's so many things, what's going on in Congress. What are we going to talk about tonight?
Playing off of something you just said regarding cradle-to-the-grave care by government, it's been my experience in studying this issue up close and also academically. I've mentioned before that my first job of any significance is working with the National Right to Life Committee, and that's an organization that focuses on abortion as well as infanticide and euthanasia. But when you talk about the idea of government providing for your cradle to grave, government is in the business of coercion and the administration of scarcity. Anytime government gets involved in arranging the distribution of resources according to political considerations, you end up with artificial scarcity. If you have plenty, you don't need government in anything other than the role of neutral arbiter. And that, of course, is not satisfactory from the perspective of people who want to remold the world closer to their heart's desire and correct those errors as they see them where the people live. So if they're going to take care of us from cradle to the grave, they're going to be putting a whole lot more of us in the grave.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, William.
You're entirely correct when you talk about the fact that the ambition of people in government is to be looked upon as omnicompetent, to recognize no limit to their authority, no limit to the domain, the dominion that they exercise over others. And any government that presumes to arrange to care for its subjects from the cradle to the grave is going to be killing people in the cradle or before they reach the cradle and putting a lot more of us into the grave. That's just the nature of how government operates. And taking a look at what's going on right now in terms of the gathering catastrophes, we're really seeing sort of a crescendo here developing, and this is a crescendo I think that's going to gather force for a great deal of time into the future. I mean, I don't think that we're going to see the grand unraveling complete any time within this year or the next, but we're in, I believe, a phase of crescendoing catastrophes. This artificial interdependence which has been created here through indebtedness primarily is the biggest single threat to our independence as a country and our continued prosperity as a nation. It's not well understood just how deeply troubled our economy is and how degenerate our culture has become, not only in terms of public morality and sort of the ubiquity of crassness and materialism, but also in terms of people becoming dependent on government and not knowing how to provide for themselves or how to provide for each other absent this magic quantity that is government coercion. The assumption is that if it doesn't involve somehow a mediating role by government, if you're talking about charitable outreach, if you're talking about compassionate service, that that doesn't really count, because it's missing. Anytime you have a private endeavor to care for the unfortunate, it misses, it lacks that magical quantity that makes government-provided compassion so superior to private charity, and that's coercion. And so we have a situation now where we have a really degenerate public culture, which is very collectivist and very conformist in nature, in a lowest common denominator sense, while at the same time we have a government that has pretty much suffocated our ability to have a productive economy that builds things that people are interested in buying. And about the only thing that we really export right now is debt. And one of the major importers of our debt is now so stricken and so wrought with crisis and catastrophe, that, of course, being Japan, that the next time the Treasury is in the business of selling a bunch of Treasury bonds, Treasury notes, Japan's not going to be able to buy them because they're going to start selling
debt. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly William is just talking about the fact that certainly we have to borrow money to survive. Japan is certainly the second largest purchaser and holder of America's debt, of America's treasury bills, and we have to sell our treasury bills on a regular basis to pay our bills, because certainly fewer and fewer countries throughout the world want to hold American T-bills, and certainly China has been a reliable purchaser. But now, Japan has been a reliable purchaser. China's dropping out.
Mm-hmm.
Will Japan be able to buy treasury bonds next time they go up for sale? I'm talking about the next few weeks when Japan is faced with something like $60 billion to begin reconstructing certainly their shattered economy, their shattered parts of their country. Pick up the story there, William.
Yeah, they're going to have to be selling debt of their own in order to finance the reconstruction of their country, because bear in mind, Japan has been mired in its own downturn for 20 years. Their economic downturn really began 1990, 1991, 1992. They had their own real estate housing bubble. They had their own collapse. They've had their own bailouts. They've had their own zombie banks. As a matter of fact, their zombie banks were in a position of negative interest rates for a while. They went down past zero, which is utterly insane. I mean, that's hyper-Keynesian intervention in the marketplace. And Japan actually tried that for a while. It didn't work. Of course it didn't work. How could it? But you've got a very productive people who've been very frugal and very disciplined. They save, unlike Americans. That's one of the reasons they've been able to get by during this 20-year-long economic downturn. And suddenly, of course, a factor over which humans have no control at all whatsoever, which, of course, is the plate tectonics of the Earth, moves in a very modest way in terms of the natural functions of the planet. I believe it was Will Durant who said that all social arrangements are contingent on the cooperation of geography. And that if there are changes in geography over which we have no control, there are going to be changes in social arrangements, including political arrangements. Well, that sort of thing just happened in Japan. And one of the really important aftershocks of the earthquake and tsunami in Japan is going to be a huge hit to the American economy in the terms of the necessary outright monetization of that element of the debt which Japan has been willing to absorb on our behalf. And, of course, they are, as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, the second-largest purchaser of the Treasury Department's debt. They're no longer going to be able to put up with that. They're no longer going to be able to maintain the luxury of propping up our grotesquely inflated standard of living. And the Chinese, of course, have signaled that they have had a surfeit now of bad debt from the United States. And that leaves us with the prospect of radical monetization of the debt by the Fed, which is already doing that. They're already becoming the chief purchaser of Treasury debt.
But, I mean, how can you buy your own debt without destroying your own currency?
Yeah,
basically, when you start buying your debt when nobody else will buy it, and basically 40 cents for every dollar that you spend, is built upon debt, and there's no more places to borrow when you begin then creating money so you can pay your own debts. Pretty soon, this is a recipe for disaster, and the whole system collapses. The average American says, my system could never collapse. Why not? Other countries have done the same thing and ended up collapsing. In fact, we've done this in several countries. We did this in Zimbabwe when we installed Mugabe. We did this in Iraq after Saddam was deposed. And we took over that country and we destroyed the infrastructure of that country intentionally and maliciously. Would they do that here? The same people are in control today. Well, go right ahead.
Well, yeah, and that, of course, underscores a very important point about the depravity of the people running the government ruling us. If you want to see what sort of things they're willing to do to us, take a look at the projects that they've been willing to sponsor and carry out abroad. I've often said, and this is something you and I have speculated about, Dr. Stan, that what's happened in Zimbabwe is sort of a long-term controlled experiment in hyperinflation, as if they're using this country as a laboratory to see just how far they can push hyperinflation before you reach an almost biological level of fatigue with intervention in the economy. And the same things have happened on a couple of occasions, of course, in other countries where the United States government has been willing to shower the population with this peculiar brand of benevolence. Just this last week, in the last few days, we've seen reports about lawsuits being filed by people in Guatemala over these bizarre biological medical experiments on unwitting victims that were conducted by people connected to the United States government. That is sort of an adjunct to the foreign aid program, if you will. And in our own national history, you can see the Tuskegee syphilis experiments and other instances where people have been used as guinea pigs for radiation, the MK Ultra and similar experiments by the CIA and mind control. These are snapshots of the depraved inner mind, if you will, if you want to characterize it in sort of a collective sense, the depraved inner mind of our ruling establishment. There really is nothing that is beyond these people in terms of what they're willing to do to people who are at the periphery of our own field of vision and our own attention span. If these things happen in Guatemala, if they happen in Zimbabwe, if they're done to people who live in the margins here in the United States, most people ignore them because they assume, for whatever reason, that there would be some natural immunity that mainstream Americans would possess that would protect us against the depraved ambitions of our rulers. Well, it doesn't work that way. And now we're seeing that the pretense of prosperity in which we live for so long is being taken away from us. It never ceases to amaze me how consistently I hear, and it seems to be every week, at the beginning of the week, I'll hear stories of this kind, which are really propaganda rather than news reports, about the recovery, the fragile recovery. There's suddenly economic motion, there's economic momentum, the markets are recovering, businesses are hiring, and these, of course, are all based on either outright fabrications or cunning misrepresentations of data or misleading isolated snapshots of the flowing river that is the economy. Just a month and a half or so ago, we were hearing how late in the year, last year, there was this unexpected uptick in hiring, and there was this unexpected corresponding drop in unemployment filings. Well, no, that's not unexpected. It has to do with the Christmas season. People were being hired on a temporary basis by retailers and by shippers and other companies that are involved in servicing the Christmas market, the gift market. And, of course, that temporary hiring happens every year. It was more modest this last year than it had been for the last 10 or 15 years. But nonetheless, because of the really abbreviated attention span of the American news-consuming public, the effort is made every once in a while to mislead people into thinking that somehow this represents us turning the proverbial corner on the economy. Of course, this is nonsense on stilts. Anybody who's taken a look at the real unemployment figures and the real unrectified or derectified, I think might be the better way of putting it, using the Orwellian term here, the authentic consumer price index and consumer inflation, price inflation figures. And one really good index for that, of course, is what's going on with valuable commodities such as gold and oil, knows that the economy is not getting better, the dollar is not getting stronger, and just within the last several weeks, we've heard Timothy Geithner actually make very receptive sounds to the idea of the dollar losing its place as the world's reserve currency, which, of course, is just recognizing the inevitable. There's no reason to think that the fiat dollar is long for this world, and that's something that is very significant that's gotten tragically little coverage. But this, once again, leads me to think about what's going to happen now that Japan, which had been willing to prop up our economy for so long, to prop up the dollar by devouring the bad debt being issued by Washington, being issued by the Federal Reserve, by way of the Treasury Department, they no longer have that luxury of giving us the luxury of an illusion of prosperity. And you have that coupled, of course, with the fact that our country has now been committed to another war in the Middle East, in Northern Africa, along that whole arc of crisis in the Mediterranean. These two events taken together are auguries of something that really freezes me to the depths of my soul, almost to the chromosomal level, in terms of what these two trends taken together signify. If you take a look at the discussions that have been had over the last 10 or 12 years in some of the highest policymaking echelons about how we would bring about a recovery through the ultimate Keynesian stimulus program, which is a huge and bloody war, and how war would be looked upon as not only an employment opportunity for people who are otherwise not employable, but as a way of reconfiguring our society in the direction of an entirely regimented service, collectivist service, national service type fashion. I think we're seeing a trend line that could be consummated in the development of, or in the emergence, rather, of this type of forced draft, what I've called the blood for debt swap. I believe it was Ann Williamson, the author of a wonderful book that was never published called Contagion. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, who first broached the idea a number of years ago about a grand bargain that would be struck by way of the United Nations and, of course, the financial institutions that actually antedated the UN organization that we all think of, the Bretton Woods Institution, the IMF and World Bank. They were actually created before the United Nations organization was founded, before the San Francisco Charter was finalized and the Charter was signed. They already had the banking institutions in order. And it is through those institutions that a grand bargain would be struck, where our unsustainable debt would be transmuted into what would be, in all, for all intents and purposes, a comprehensive program of indentured servitude for our youth by way of a so-called national service program that would include military conscription and the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, where you have industrial armies controlled by the government. This is probably in our future.
Well, the things people don't understand, that unless we get back to our original concept of the power of government is limited, why, of course, we will lose our freedom. America was great because we limited the power of government so men could be free, expand the powers of government, take the chains off of government, and immediately they're forged for the people. Go right ahead, William.
Well,
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Keepers, you know, but they are there engaged in what's really going on there. Contrary to what's being told, we have our troops in Afghanistan, in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan. We have drone strikes in Yemen. We certainly are financing the war that's taking place in both in Somalia and in that part of the world. So there's five wars for you, and now we're facing the prospect of airstrikes, and this is not just certainly a no-fly zone in Libya.
No.
It's far more than that. It's called not only a no-fly, but a no-drive zone. In other words, if you're driving there in a car, if you are in a truck, if you are in a tank, why, you are also going to be there. So no-fly, no-drive zone is what they're really talking about. Go right ahead.
Yeah, that's a very important element of what's going on in Libya that's very, very poorly appreciated, very little understood by most people, is that we're not talking about a simple no-fly zone, which is itself an act of war. It's a blockade. A blockade's an act of war. It's an act of armed enforcement, armed aggression. If you're dealing with a country that's never injured or threatened us, and that's certainly true of Libya, at least within the last 25 years, you really cannot make a case that Libya is in any sense a threat to the United States, or that Libya has injured the United States by what's going on in terms of the civil war that's underway right now. But a no-fly zone, being a form of armed interdiction of normal commerce and or armed enforcement by a foreign sovereign within an internationally recognized border, that, of course, is war. And that's not the only type, or not the only example of that kind of activity going on right now that the United States is involved in. We mentioned, of course, the drone strikes in Yemen, the drone strikes in Pakistan, the surrogate warfare being waged in Ethiopia with the help on the, or by Ethiopia in Somalia with the help on the ground of U.S. Special Forces. There are credible and persistent accounts of special forces activities within Iran right now. And let's not forget what's going on in our own proverbial backyard. In Colombia, we have a huge U.S.-administered program underway under the aegis of the war on drugs, primarily in the form of U.S. advisors and intelligence people aiding a really nasty military. But the CIA, of course, is also operating drug interdiction flights. And they're called drug interdiction flights. They're probably drug facilitation flights, given that the international drug market, to a large extent, is facilitated by or large parts of it controlled outright by the CIA. In Central America, in Costa Rica, which is a country without a military, the United States Marines are building a huge seaport. There's a large contingent of Marines that were sent there late last fall. Heavenly knows what mischief they're going to be involved in. In Mexico, this is something that was just revealed over the last couple of days. This is something I have been predicting since about 2006 or 2007. But the same type of drones that are being used to carry out assassinations in Pakistan and Yemen are being used in Mexico for roughly the same purpose. They're being tasked to hunt down and eradicate people referred to as drug lords. And drug lords, of course, are competitors. They're people who are involved in sort of a corporatist turf war among the various factions in that incredibly corrupt government that control this huge and flourishing drug trade that is prospering because of drug prohibition. we've had almost 40,000 people, the better part of 40,000 people, the estimates are between 34 and I think 37 or 38,000 people in Mexico who have been killed just in the last 3 or 4 years because of the Merida Initiative, excuse me, the U.S.-funded militarization of the drug war in Mexico, and just within the last couple of weeks, once again, it's been revealed. This is something that had been in the rumor mill for a number of months, and it was just recently confirmed, and it went public at the beginning of last week, I believe, that the ATF had been involved, supposedly in an inadvertent fashion, but I don't credit that characterization, in providing military-grade firearms to people involved in narcotics trafficking of the drug cartels in Mexico. Now, this is just a brief tour of some of the things that the government's involved in by way of wars and quasi-wars globally, and now we have the United Nations Security Council, without any kind of consent or input from Congress, committing the United States to a war in Libya. That's the import of what happened in the Security Council last night. That was a declaration of war by an enclave of foreign diplomats on the East River over whom we have no accountability.
And of course, it's so interesting that China and Russia abstained, and Germany abstained. I'm sure the Chinese and Russians would love to see us fight to the last American soldier there. Well, we're not going to commit our troops probably, but our planes will be there, because we're going in, to kill people so we can prevent a genocide from taking place. My goodness, it's amazing what they can do with words. We'll be right back. Dr. Stan William, you go right ahead.
I want to elaborate just a little bit on what I just said in terms of what happened yesterday at the UN Security Council. For the last week and a half, actually for 2 weeks, I believe it was 2 weeks ago that I was on your program and we were talking about the way that the Anderson Cooper program on CNN was engaged in what I thought was an act of sort of neocon ventriloquism, where we had this unidentified woman pleading for the imposition of a no-fly zone on CNN. She was supposedly calling from her hotel room, or her apartment, rather, in Libya, I believe in Tripoli, talking about Gaddafi bringing in the mercenaries and how the international community had to rally and impose a no-fly zone to keep the mercenaries from coming in. This followed, of course, just a couple of days earlier, an op-ed by Paul Wolfowitz, one of the most contemptible human beings currently drawing breath, who's a former Defense Department official under both Bush administrations and former president of the World Bank. He's a man not without influence in these matters, was talking about the imposition of a no-fly zone and how he put together another one of these instant coalitions. He just basically passed around a sign-up sheet at the Pratt House headquarters of the CFR or something and got people to sign an open letter calling for the imposition of a no-fly zone. Then you hear this dramatic propaganda suitable broadcast by Anderson Cooper about how we need to have a no-fly zone. I said at that time, that's what's going to happen. The atmosphere is being tuned. The narrative is being set. We're going to have a no-fly zone being imposed on Libya. It's going to happen by way of the United Nations. The Security Council is going to issue what they call a Chapter 7 resolution, which is the equivalent of a declaration of war. And with that congressional declaration or congressional input, we're going to be committed by virtue of our supposed obligations to the international community to carrying out a war against Libya as ordained by the United Nations. Well, that's exactly what happened yesterday. And what I find really interesting about this, well, there are a number of things I could talk about, but the most important thing, I think, is the fact that Barack Obama's actions setting up, or I don't know if Barack Obama should be blamed for this, the people are writing his script.
Hold that thought. Wait a minute. I just want all of our listeners to hear this, so just hold that thought for a moment as we bring all of our other stations back on board here to listen to William Grigg. Well, I understand. I guess as William Gregg and certainly you were talking about what's happened. Certainly, the United Nations has passed a resolution. Of course, Germany and China and Russia abstained because they had loved to fight to the last American soldier or to destroy the last American plane. So we're going to have to bear the brunt of what the United Nations now has voted to implement. And that is a war on Libya. And basically, of course, what has happened is they're going to impose a no-fly, no-drive zone. This is much more than simply a no-fly zone. They're going to, of course, be attacking the military facilities there. It'll be done probably entirely by the use of planes, but they are just as deadly. You're far more likely to be killed by a bullet or a cruise missile or a bomb from a plane than by a bullet from a man across the street from you. Before we go on, William, however, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your blog site, how they can find your material, and then, of course, how they can find your PayPal button, because certainly William, at the present time, uses PayPal to help support his large family, and certainly I think it's vitally important that we keep him on the front lines. One, in my opinion, one of the most astute observers we have at the present time. So why don't you tell our listeners how they can get to your site?
Dr. Stan, that means an awful lot to me. My primary website is called Pro Libertate, and as I never tire putting out, that means for freedom, and it's found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. freedominourtime.blogspot.com. An easy way to find it would be to go to a search engine and type in my last name, Grig, and then Pro Libertate, P-R-O-L-I-B-E-R-T-A-T-E. And that should be the first return you'll get. I also see a lot of my material republished at lewrockwell.com. That's L-E-W-Rockwell.com. The redoubtable Mr. Rockwell is the president of the Ludwig von Mises Institute, which I think is one of the finest organizations of its kind, promoting genuine free market capitalism, not corporatism, not protectionism, not an industrial policy in which you have certain people picked as winners by the government, not the type of, unfortunately, Hamiltonian corporatism that has been more or less the system we've lived under for most of the history of our country, the mercantilist system that our founding fathers were supposed to reject, that people like Adam Smith condemned. Unfortunately, the rudiments of that were put in place not long after our country, our republic, was founded. That represents derogation from our ideal. Well, Lew Rockwell and the Ludwig von Mises Institute are promoting pure, uncut, full-strength, fully leaded market capitalism. LewRockwell.com, once again, that's L-E-W-Rockwell.com, is one of the most widely read freedom-oriented websites in the world, and I have the honor of being quite frequently republished on LewRockwell.com. And on the blog section of that website as well, I contribute quite frankly. That's the right-hand side of the page. My current essay at Pro Libertate is entitled The War Machine on the East River. It was published late last night. I had to hold out the last couple of paragraphs. I've been working on that piece for, well, quite frankly, for a couple of weeks. I've published other pieces in the interim, shorter pieces. This is a fairly major piece, and I want to warn your listeners, if they go read this, they're making a commitment of time because it's over 3,600 words long. That's not typical of what you find on blogs, even my blog. My longest essays generally run between 1,500 and 2,000 words. I think a typical length is about 1,800 words, which is long-form journalism. I mean, that's War and Peace. That's Tolstoyan length by blogosphere standards. This is a 3,600-word behemoth, and it had to be, because I go into specific case histories, details about where the United Nations came from and what role it really serves. And at the end of this behemoth, as is the case with every other essay that I publish on Pro Libertate, there is a PayPal button, a button which, of course, gives access to people who are interested and have the means and interest in donating to help me keep this blog up and running, to help me keep all the enterprises I'm involved in, which include podcasting and radio commentaries as well, keep up and running and keep my family up and running as well. This is the chief means that I have, quite frankly, right now of providing for my family, and I am very, very much indebted to you, Dr. Stan, for the concern that you've taken in my family, and very grateful to you and and your listeners and the others who have donated so generously to help keep this a viable concern. It means a great deal to me, more than I could adequately and suitably express. And I thank you once again for everything you've done, not only to help the general cause of freedom, but to help the particular cause of my family.
Well, I appreciate,
which I'm grateful.
I appreciate everything that you've done and all the sacrifices you've made for America. So you go right ahead.
Well, thank you so much. We were talking about the choreography of this event that led, or the choreography of what led to the event yesterday at the United Nations Security Council. There is a certain common morphology, a certain, if you will, family resemblance that you can find in these crises. They follow in broad outline and often in particular details a very similar storyline. And one of the things that you reiterate constantly, Dr. Stan, and it's very valuable for people to learn this, is that politics is not something that simply happens. Politics is the art of managing public perceptions and expectations in a way compatible with the ambitions of powerful people who control the levers of power. In other words, delusion is enthroned, and truth, of course, finds itself in the dock. What happens here when we see ourselves being manipulated into war of this kind is that you have, of course, the demonization of somebody who's a convenient and often in some way U.S.-aided hate figure. Saddam Hussein was elevated to his position in the 1960s through CIA intervention. How do you think Muammar Gaddafi, at the age of 27, ended up in charge of an oil-rich northern Africa country that had extensive and very valuable stores of light sweet crude of a particular purity that makes it highly desirable? Well, he was elevated to his position. His coup against the ruling monarch of Libya was supported by the CIA. He was 27 years old. He was photogenic. He was somebody who appeared to be charismatic and ambitious, and most importantly, pliant to the interests of the United States government. Turns out he became an African nationalist, an African regionalist, gravitated into the Soviet orbit. This isn't something I think that followed the script as precisely as they had intended, so he became something valuable other than a sort of miniature version of Shah Reza Pahlavi. He became a very valuable asset of a negative kind. He was an enemy. They've been cultivating him for decades. About 4 or 5 years ago, actually it was 2003, so it was almost 8 years ago, he suddenly decided that he would open up a more friendly posture toward the United States, and he suddenly became an ally against Al-Qaeda. What's happened over the last 6 or 8 months, however, is that Libya, like many other countries in Northern Africa and the Gulf region, has been riven with strife, a lot of it economic in nature, some of it political, no doubt a little more than a little bit fomented by people in Western intelligence services. So we have a crisis now of an outright civil war in which you have people being slaughtered by Gaddafi's regime with the help of African mercenaries. And that creates a humanitarian crisis that is always a perfect template for a grand exercise in humanitarian aggression through the United Nations. Now, in putting together this drive for war with Libya through the UN, the Obama administration, which of course is larded with pretty much the same elitists who have carried out this role in every administration since, well, heavens, FDR, really, but in a more immediate sense, since the Carter administration. There are a lot of Carter-era trilateralist retreads who surround Obama. They followed exactly the same script that the first President Bush followed in creating the drive for war with Saddam Hussein. And the similarity between Saddam and Gaddafi is really quite fascinating. I mean, Gaddafi has never been quite the regional power that Saddam Hussein's Iraq was, which is overrated in terms of its global influence as a military power, but was quite formidable in terms of its immediate neighborhood. Libya has never really been that big of a threat, although, of course, they've certainly messed up Chad quite a bit over the decades since Gaddafi came to power. But he has pretty much the same throw weight, if you will, as a villain. And so they put together a coalition, an international coalition, before they went to the United Nations Security Council. And in the United Nations Security Council, you pointed out, this is where it differs somewhat from the standard script. You had China and Russia abstain when they could have vetoed the Security Council resolution. If they had vetoed the Security Council resolution, that would have complicated things in a way that wouldn't have been desirable. Now, of course, you have their tacit consent. But in his speech today from Rio de Janeiro, Mr. Obama made a point of saying that there are other Arab nations who are part of this coalition against Libya. And that's an element that Mr. Obama's coalition shares with the coalition that was put together against Saddam Hussein back in 1990-1991. The coalition of the bought, the bribed, the bullied. In this instance, however, the bribe, the chief bribe, the most important one, wasn't really in the form of money or emoluments of that sort. It was permission given by Secretary of State Clinton, through back channels, to the government of Saudi Arabia to invade Bahrain, to cross the Gulf and invade Bahrain, which, of course, is a monarchy that is controlled by a Sunni family, the Al Khalifa family, that rules over a restive Shiite minority. And, of course, Bahrain is also the staging area for the Fifth Fleet, so it's of strategic importance to Washington as a colonial outpost. Their security force, and this is something else we pointed out before on this show, Dr. Tin, their security force is armed, trained, equipped, subsidized by the United States government. Right now, the Bahraini military and security forces are committing atrocities that are much, much worse than what's going on in Libya. Not in terms of outright numbers, but in terms of the fact that they're gunning down unarmed people. This is not a civil war in Bahrain. This is an outright, undisguised, undifferentiated slaughter. And it's being carried out by a surrogate army of the United States government in the midst of an occupation force of United States military personnel. You have the Fifth Fleet stationed there. And then you have the Saudis invade to buttress the teetering Al-Khalifa monarchy by beating back, putting down, slaughtering, where necessary, the Shiite minority. Now, the reason why that permission was given, obviously, to Saudi Arabia was the concerns on the part of King Abdullah and House of Saud, that if they didn't intervene, there might be a contagion spread to Saudi Arabia, and you might have an uprising against that Sunni monarchy. And the reason why this was an important consideration was the fact that Saudi Arabia has such a large and important role to play in the Arab League. Now, why is that important? Last Saturday, the Arab League, this is actually something that I predicted would happen last week, last Friday, when I was on your program. I said within hours you're going to have the Arab League meet. I didn't say within hours, but I said the Arab League is going to meet. They're going to call for the imposition of a no-fly zone, that the initiative in this instance is going to be taken by an Egyptian diplomat who played an important, not a founding role, not a seminal role, but an important public role in the uprising against Mubarak. He's somebody who was suddenly put out front as if he were a leader of this uprising so as to sanitize him and make him politically viable. Well, he was the one who took the initiative in putting together the draft resolution of the Arab League, and the Saudis used their considerable clout within the Arab League to get this resolution passed calling for the imposition of a no-fly zone. This is pretty much an instance where everything was done by way of dictation from Washington through the Arab League. And with that resolution, the Arab League in hand, they said, look, we have a mandate now from the rest of the Arab world. This is not the West versus a Northern African Arab country. This is not the West versus Islam. The Arabs are on board. There's a consensus. We can go to the United Nations Security Council and get the imprimatur of the world government now, the world body, acting as a governing body for a purely limited and astringently defined no-fly zone to enforce the same over Libya for the limited, exclusive purpose of ending this humanitarian catastrophe. Except that's not the nature of the resolution that emerged from the Security Council. At some point within the last 48 hours, the switch occurred in the bait and switch. Suddenly they were no longer talking about a no-fly zone. Dr. Stan, you mentioned the no-fly and no-drive zone, but it talks about using all necessary means. That phrase, of course, is meant to be a blank check. Using all necessary means, strictly interpreted, means that, as they like to say, no options are off the table. This morning, Mr. Obama was saying that there would not be a deployment of U.S. ground forces to carry out to enforce the terms of that resolution. There is an unspoken but tangible yet attached to that phrase. It's not spoken by him, but it is hovering in the air in intangible but coalescing form. They will not yet send in ground forces. But given that they have a mandate to use all necessary means, to end the humanitarian catastrophe. That means that at a time of their choosing, they can do so. So they started out by talking about a no-fly zone, and then Hillary Clinton herself, when she was in the region, I believe she was in Tunisia, said that in order to enforce no-fly zone, well, that's going to require bombing. Obviously, you're going to have to be bombing the anti-aircraft sites if you're going to be enforcing a no-fly zone. And then they were talking about the fact that in order to bomb, take out the no-fly zone, or take out the anti-aircraft positions, you're going to have people painting those targets on the ground. That means you're going to have at least some ground forces, you know, some special operations teams on site in order to accomplish that mission. That means you're going to have boots on the ground, at least in limited fashion, but just in limited fashion. Oh, what the heck? Let's dispense with any pretense here of gradations and calibrations. All necessary means are now authorized by the United Nations Security Council. And I want to underscore and italicize once again the fact that this is all taking place through a body that is composed of people who are utterly unaccountable, including Ambassador Rice, the delegate to the United Nations. She represents the Obama administration. Of course, she's confirmed as a delegate by the United States Senate. But the fact is, she's there basically in order to facilitate the decisions undertaken by this synod of foreign socialists, these diplomats from depraved, degenerate, and completely loathsome governments. Of course, there is no other variety of government other than loathsome on this planet, but there are gradations and, if you will, gravities of loathsomeness. It's a little bit difficult to say that if you take a look at the roster of worthies on the United Nations Security Council, that there are any governments, including our own, that people would really like to be ruled by. But these people are utterly unaccountable, and this represents a complete circumnavigation of what the Constitution ordains in terms of the United States government being committed to war by Congress through a formal declaration of war against a specific hostile governing power.
And I was simply mentioning in passing that Susan Rice just happens, just by chance, to be a member of the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations. In fact, six of the seven of the last nine secretaries of state have come from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. Susan Rice, who's the American ambassador to the United Nations, came from there. So the eight of the last ten members of the secretaries of defense have come from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. Six of the almost all of the presidents of the World Bank, and they all come from the same little organization whose purpose, according to Barry Goldwater, was to take over our nation. Go right ahead, William.
Well, Dr. Stan, you're exactly right. It's interesting to see how consistently these ministers...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about anything any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Do you know what happens to a community that fluoridates its drinking water? Well, the incidence of Down syndrome and endocrine dysfunction, heart disease, thyroid disease, hip fracture, mental problems, infertility, cancer, and crime increases. And if you doubt that, why, go to fluoridealert.org, fluoridealert.org, or the website of the scientists who work for the EPA. That's NTEU280.org. That's NTEU280.org. So what can you do to protect yourself? Well, we carry a Berkey water gun. It does a great job. If you have the fluoride filter, specifically taking fluoride out of the drinking water, but you're still going to get a lot of fluoride absorbed through your skin if you shower or bathe. So we have now a total home filtration unit. It's affordable. It does a great job. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 to learn about the total home filtration unit.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.